Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is Friday, July 26, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Now 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this TGI edition. High atop State Street, a block off the Capitol Square. Mostly sunny skies. Mostly sunny because there's a few overcast clouds up there. But looking for a high in the upper 70s, low 80s, a little humid today. They're saying it will get progressively humid, more humid, by Sunday. Sunday could be right down sultry. Highs in the 80s, heat indexes in the 90s. So if you have some outdoor yard work or things like that, might want to plan on doing it on Saturday, Mr. Zommers.
Yeah, I'm going to plan on enjoying my very functional air conditioning. Actually, that's not true. I want to be fishing this weekend.
Are you really?
Hopefully up north it's not as humid.
Where are you going to, where are you going fishing
ask? Up north, you know.
Up north.
In the Rhinelander area.
Oh, very good. My good friend Sam Gold from Eagle River, originally. Beautiful area up there. I've spent some time in the winter, actually. And most people might say, well, geez, why would you want to be up north? It's beautiful. You get a snowfall up there and in the woods, all the pine trees. It really is magical up around Rhinelander, Eagle River.
It depends just how rural it is. Mm-hmm. Like my dad's side of the family has a cabin up in that area, and nice. The driveway is a challenge in good weather. So if you go in winter, you better be driving a truck.
Yeah, better be driving a truck. Well, a big show for you today. Before we go any further, a shout out to Dad, Jim Albaugh. His birthday is tomorrow, and on July 27th.
Happy early birthday.
Happy early birthday, Dad. Driving up to Shawano this weekend to do a little celebrating with the family up there with him. So looking forward to that. I signed on, I was talking about earlier in the week with Phil Nee. My first day on the radio was back in 1987 on Dad's birthday, July 27th, 1987. My first on-air shift.
So also, happy anniversary, Todd.
Thank you very much. I took a 15-year hiatus between shifts in there. But happy to be the last couple of years or so. Happy to be back on the air. And ironically enough, on WRCE, the sister station to WRCO Richland Center, because that is now a Civic Media property. So very fortunate indeed to still have this opportunity to join each and every one of you every day along with Mr. Zommer. So happy birthday to Dad. Coming up in hour two, be listening, because we're going to give away a set of 4 Brewer tickets. So we have a 4-pack for you. Milwaukee Brewer tickets for the game coming up on Monday. Big Monday game, the Atlanta Braves in town. First pitch is 7:10. So we will give away 4 tickets to Monday's game at 7:10 in hour number 2. But be listening, because the question in hour 2 will be from something that happens in hour number 1.
Ooh.
So you have to listen. You have to keep listening, because it'll the trivia question to win the tickets, the Brewer tickets in hour 2, will be based upon something that happens in hour number 1. And speaking of, at the bottom of the hour, it's been way too long. He's a busy man, but he has made time for us today. We look forward in nervous anticipation. Our friend and ongoing contributor, the great John Roach, who you might recall was a longtime columnist for Madison Magazine, amongst others. He is an author, a writer, producer, a screenwriter. I call him an all-around Renaissance man, because the guy could do it all. An alum of the University of Wisconsin-Madison, he can literally talk anything and we'll do it all. We'll find out what he thinks about what's going on in the world of politics. We'll ask Mr. Roach what he thinks of alcohol being brought back to Camp Randall this fall, get his take on that.
I'm certain he'll have an opinion.
And
I don't know what it is.
Yes, but he's been spending time up in the North Woods at his cabin up there at Roach Lake, so we'll get an update from Roach Lake.
That's what I was wondering. Yeah. I was wondering if he was going to be up north today.
I'm not sure where we'll find him. It's always a surprise when he shows up on our screen. But Mr. Roach will be here at the bottom of the hour. One of those people where you just sit back, pour yourself an Arnold Palmer or whatever you're drinking this afternoon, and listen to him. And I'll be quiet as much as possible because he's one of these people where his voice is like silk. And he's so interesting, you can just listen to him all day long. So John Roach at 12:30. And then at 1:30, we'll have the great Peter Rapine, managing editor of EPOM's World, in with another bi-weekly look at the week in review. How about that? Always fascinating because these are not made-up stories. It's not fiction. These are actual headlines and stories that Peter Rapine has scanned through the presses and the internet and found wild and wacky real stories of real goofy humans. How about that?
It's always such a good start to the weekend.
It really is. So Peter Rapine in at 1:30, a big show. Matt in Germantown texting in on WAUK says, that's before I was born.
Talking about your radio anniversary.
1987.
Yeah, me too. But
as our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, I'll clean it up for radio. I've seen some stuff.
Got some good life experience,
right?
Which is part of what makes you a good host.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And of course, we're coming to you from the studio here in the World Headquarters, and behind us, the J.D. Vance couch. So all up until the election, the J.D. Vance couch, of course. And this is fascinating, by the way. Let's just start here. There were these rumors, and it was alleged that J.D. Vance, in his book, this goofy book from a while back that was made into some docuseries online or whatever on Netflix or something, that he, let's just say that he had relations with a couch back in his high school or probably college days. Well, then it came out, the Associated Press, of all things, the Associated Press came out with a fact check on did J.D. Vance, in fact, have sex with a couch? And they said, no, he did not. But in a stunning turn of events, the Associated Press yesterday retracted its fact check. Because as it turns out, while they couldn't prove that J.D. Vance had sex with a couch, they could not disprove the fact that he had sex with a couch. So apparently it's still up for grabs, so to speak. But anyway, we're having a lot of fun with it, and it'll be interesting to see if he officially yes, denies it. Maybe that's our new J.D. Vance music.
I think so.
Maybe, yeah. So other news today, let's get to some of these headlines, and this is a big one here. Donald Trump has pulled out. And if you ask porn star Stormy Daniels and read her depositions from a sworn court records, it's not the first time, apparently. But this time, Trump is pulling out.
Not off the couch.
Of the Republican debate. Or the debate, the general election debate. Here is the statement from the Trump campaign on general election debates. Quote, given the continued political chaos surrounding crooked Joe Biden and the Democrat Party, again, I'm reading from their press release, general election debate details cannot be finalized until Democrats formally decide on their nominee. There is a strong sense by many in the Democrat party, namely Barack Hussein Obama, that Kamala Harris is a Marxist fraud who cannot beat Donald Trump, and they are still holding out for someone better. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to schedule things with Harris because Democrats very well could still change their minds, unquote. That is signed by the Trump campaign communication director.
But
so after saying on and on, anywhere, anytime, I will debate, Donald Trump has decided, not so much.
But if we're talking about September here, which to my understanding, that was the timeline, that's over a month to prepare. And right. No matter who you're debating, you're not going to find out the day before. You're going to be able to prepare.
Let's go to the MSNBC from last night. Man, he'd make a great vice presidential nominee. Secretary Pete Buttigieg was on MSNBC right after this news came out that Donald Trump was pulling out of the debate process. Here's what Secretary Pete had to say.
Donald Trump and his campaign have suggested that he may not follow through with the debate in September that had been scheduled to be with President Biden. Now, of course, would be the vice president, assuming she does wrap up the nomination as expected. What do you make of that?
It's extraordinary. tough talk is this guy's calling card. And now there's this extraordinary show of weakness. He agreed to, you know, he said anytime, any place. But more than that, he agreed to this specific debate on this specific network on this specific date. And now he's pulling out. And of course, it shows that he's afraid. It shows that he knows if the two of them are on a stage together, it's not going to end well for him. So, this is a campaign that really has struggled to be about anything but Donald Trump and Joe Biden. And I think that's the bigger pattern that you're seeing here and part of why the Trump campaign is having such a hard time adapting. Think about it, just in a matter of 2 or 3 days, our campaign adapted to literally the biggest possible change, which is a change in the top of the ticket. And yet, within a couple of days, that support consolidated and that message was clear. They, meanwhile, have been flailing in a way that shows they're unable to adapt. And to me, it's not just that their entire strategic apparatus was built around tearing down Joe Biden. I think there's something deeper, which is Donald Trump cannot conceive of a campaign that isn't about the candidate. We're obviously very excited about our candidate. Kamala Harris is a leader that everybody is pulling together around, but also she's articulating a message that isn't about just about herself and certainly isn't just about Donald Trump, although she has that contrast down. It's about us. And that's the kind of campaign that wins. It's the right kind of campaign. And it's also one that literally does not compute for somebody like Donald Trump.
Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg nailing it. I think that the fact that Donald Trump, cannot conceive of a campaign that is not centered around him. The narcissism that is Donald Trump and to a large degree J.D. Vance is about them. It's all about Trump. Where with Kamala Harris, she was in Wisconsin to kick off the campaign earlier this week. And she constantly talked about fighting for us or you, in her words. It's about the American people. It's about people who are oftentimes left out. It's about middle America. It's about middle class. It's about working people. And Donald Trump and the Republicans, the MAGA Republicans, were not prepared to run a campaign where it wasn't focused on a singular candidate. They are in free fall. They are in chaos. The Republicans do not know what to do. We'll come back with your phone calls, also talking about Derek Van Orden. He's at it again. We'll let you hear for yourself. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I want to tell you a story about the house run blue. I come home one Friday, had to tell the landlady I done lost my job. She said, that don't confront me, long as I get my money next Friday. Now next Friday I come, I didn't get the rent, and out the door I went.
Welcome back to the Tom Hall Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 20 now past the hour of 12 noon on this TGI edition, July 26, 2024. Mrs. Amers on the board. Don't forget, we have 4 Brewer tickets coming up to give away in hour 2. The trivia question to win the tickets to hour 2 will be based on our conversation in hour 1 coming up at the bottom of the hour or just after with our good friend John Roach, who will be here at 12:34. Cannot wait for that. Coming up in hour 2, Peter Rapine with a humorous look at the week in review. Off the text line, John in Watertown putting this out there. Would it be smart for Trump to drop J.D. Vance for someone else, for vice president like McGovern did in 1972? It probably would be, John, because again, they had no clue. They were not prepared for Joe Biden to have character and morals and humanity and put country before self. So they picked J.D. Vance because they thought it would be smart to gin up the MAGA base. That's why he was chosen. But I don't think Trump will, because that would be admitting a mistake, which is something that Donald Trump is reticent to ever do. he will double down and explain in his own convoluted terms why J.D. Vance is in fact the best pick and how he actually anticipated this. He'll make up a story. So yeah, you're right. It'd be the best thing, but I don't think he will. Matt, listening in Middleton on WMDX, says, I think it says a lot about the policies that MAGA does have, that are only ones that they don't want to talk about. Yeah, you're right. They don't want to debate this. Especially against, and Kamala Harris nailed it in her opening at bat politically for the presidency, saying that she put away sexual predators and perpetrators when she was district attorney, attorney general of California. And she said, hear me when I say, I know Donald Trump's type. That sent chills through Trump. Because he does not want to go up against her on a debate stage. Andrew in Verona says, GOP is in disarray. Here's the main difference between the parties. The Dems actually have a platform based on policy. Swap out Biden for Harris. Our ideas stay the same. The GOP's platform is follow Trump. Great point. You're right. The GOP has no actual platform. It is simply whatever is in the weird, convoluted mind of Donald Trump. And it's all about pledging allegiance to a person, not an idea. Chris, listening on WMDX in Madison, says, I think he should be forced to carry Vance to term. That's pretty good. I like that a lot, actually. And Sherry in Horicon says, good afternoon, Todd, Aaron. Good afternoon, Sherry. Andrew in Maine says, but Trumpster Fire's campaign, I like that, Trumpster Fire, will have to try and convince the Trumpster Fire to adapt a different method of debating Harris. Gallup may not be as effective.
The Gish Gallup.
Oh, the Gish Gallup. Right.
Yeah, which is just, for those of you who are not aware, it is the exclusive debate tactic that Donald Trump uses of throwing so many lies at your opponent that they can't. They're just overwhelmed.
And it's particularly effective against someone with a speech impediment like a stutter. So Andrew says, great to emphasize how slowly the Trump fire can pivot and adapt to changing conditions, which a president might want to do. Great point. I want to get to this before the break. And thanks to Pat Kreitlow of Up North News for putting this out on socials, amplifying it and putting it out there so that we can use this. Great reporter yesterday by Gray's Television out in Washington, D.C. And she interviewed a number of congressmen on the fact that yesterday was the last day that Congress is going to meet until September. They're taking the month of August off on vacation because the Republican-led House of Representatives by Speaker Mike Johnson is in such disarray that they can't agree on appropriations bills to finish the budget, to fund the federal government. So they're getting out of town, going back home to campaign. And this great Gray said, do you have the name? I don't know the last name, Aaron, but if you got the first.
Leah Redenbecht?
I believe that's correct. I want to give her credit at Gray's Television out in D.C. I want to play you, first of all, she simply said, well, what about Congress leaving early? It's going to be tough to get this done. Here is Derek Van Orten from the 3rd Congressional District, his response, and we'll follow that up with others.
My staff is here all the time, and my staff in the district is here all the time. So we coordinate seamlessly to get this legislation through. We have to physically be present here. I don't agree with proxy voting, right? So how many votes are we going to have to take? 8 or 10? And we can do that.
So the budget process, though, that's not going to be continuing on the floor over the recess. Are you concerned about the budget process?
Okay, maybe you don't understand how Congress works. So we don't do the budget process on the floor. You do that in committee hearings. The committees are all here. The staffs are all here. That's how Congress actually works. And I understand what you're getting at, and I don't appreciate it. I've answered your question. Do you have anything else that actually means something?
Do you hear how condescending he is in that? And this is a theme, if you go back to the RNC in Milwaukee, J.D. Vance, this anti-woman thing. They do not respect women. They want them to be submissive wives that cannot be divorced, even in abusive relationships, and have as many children as possible. I'm not making this up. It's not funny.
They want breeders, cookers, and cleaners.
Pretty much. So anyway, let's go on and play the other Republican responses to this same question from the same reporter.
I don't like it. You know, I was just telling somebody else, the one thing we're supposed to do is pass a dadgum budget. 30 years we haven't passed a budget. Let's do that. Let's tell the American people, even if the Senate doesn't, let's show them that we are serious about managing this fiscal insanity.
September 30th is the government funding deadline, and I'm sure they're going to be putting a CR in front of us. I will not be continuing Nancy Pelosi's budget from last Congress. I'm not voting for that. But that should be the conversation that our leadership is having with us. But instead, we're flying out today, going back to our districts for our August recess with no plans.
So that was Tim Burchett and, yes, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Marjorie Taylor Greene, pretty calm there, pretty rational, saying, you know, we should stay here and do what we're elected to do. When you get to the point that you are crazier than Marjorie Taylor Greene, you may have a problem. And Marjorie Taylor Greene, and certainly Tim Burchett, two Republicans, much more friendly and professional to a female reporter than Derek Van Orten. And to Pat Kreitlow's point on Up North News Radio, I hope that the Gray's television stations in Wisconsin, that are owned by Gray's Television, play this. Because this is who Derek Van Orten is. We know this in private. We know how he treats women. We know how he treats kids. He's abusive. And then he comes back to Wisconsin and he puts on his blue jeans and his baseball cap and he goes around buying coffee at Quick Trip and tries to be the aw shucks grandpa. It's a fraud. Derek Van Orten is a bully who doesn't want to stay in Washington and do his job and then is demeaning to women, just like Trump, just like J.D. Vance. And thank goodness, I believe it will be a woman who runs against J.D. Vance, either Rebecca Cook or Katrina Shanklin. And they will kick his posterior. Back with John Roach after this. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show on Civic Media. Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 noon. Glad to have you along with us here. Aaron Zomer's on the board on this 26th of July, 2024. Expecting at some point, and you never know because up there in the North Woods, sometimes things get a little complicated signal-wise, but I believe our friend John Roach is going to be joining us this half hour or so. And then coming up in hour number two, we're going to give away some Brewer tickets based on the conversation with Mr. Roach or the conversation with you all. We'll find out this half hour. And then Peter Rapine, our friend and ongoing contributor, managing editor of EPOM's World, will bring us another interesting and humorous look of the weekend review. And again, these are not made-up stories. It's not fiction. These are actual wacky things that actual wacky humans do. Peter Rapine, Week in Review, coming up in hour two. While we wait for Mr. Roach, Mr. Zomers, I want to continue what we were talking about before the break, which is Derek Van Orten's terse, condescending, snarky, and those are the things I can say on radio about him in terms of how he treated this female reporter from Gray's Television from Wisconsin out in D.C. when she basically said, look, Congress is taking the month off. Do you think that's going to disrupt your ability to get a budget passed? And he tried to, in a very condescending way, basically say, look, you don't know how this works. He said, my staff is here, my regional or district staff is here. I worked for a U.S. congressman from Wisconsin for 5 years. Your regional staff is based in your district, which would be Western Wisconsin. Your regional staff does very little. Your district staff does very little on the budget. That is handled by primarily your Washington staff. And also, Congressman Van Orten, you know as well as I do that it's pretty difficult to get things done when Congress is in recess in that regard. Because the way you get to a budget deal, an appropriations deal, is by having caucus meetings with people in your own caucus. Or there's kind of backroom deals that are going on. Or you go to, well, back in the olden days, in the 90s and early 2000s, you actually used to go to dinner or have drinks with people across the aisle to hammer out your differences. That rarely, if ever, happens over the phone or a Zoom call if you're not in Washington, D.C. So the reporter was right that this appropriations deal, this budget deal, is most likely not going to get done while Congress takes a powder. And I want to be clear, it's not necessarily out of line for when either party controls Congress to take a fall recess. But generally, they don't do it if they don't have a budget deal first. Because most Republicans would not want to go back to their district to run for re-election and look at their voters and say, I could not get a budget or appropriations passed. That traditionally not something you want to do on the campaign trail. But instead of Derek Van Orten sucking it up but being honest, and again, you're not going to hear this from me too often, but I give Marjorie Taylor Greene credit. I give her credit for being honest and say, you know what, we should be staying here and passing a budget. Now, she also went on to say she would not support a continuing resolution, which may be what is needed in order for the federal government to keep going, because particularly right before election, it's going to be pretty hard to get a budget deal passed because nobody wants to give any ground politically. So if you were in this situation prior to 2024, the way it would work is you would all say, look, to use a Terry Bell NCAA officiating term, we're going to have offsetting penalties here. And we'll pass a continuing resolution until the week after or 2 weeks after the election. And then we'll come back after the election is done, so there are no election ramifications, and we'll then agree to pass the budget after the election. Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the mega Republicans are saying, no, not going there. Now, I disagree with that, but again, I give Marjorie Taylor Greene credit for saying that Congress should stay in Washington and pass the budget. Unlike Derek Van Orten, her mega Republican counterpart, who wants to be demeaning to female reporters, act like she doesn't know what she's talking about, and then come home and put on the hat, buy his coffee. He buys his coffee at Citgo, is what I heard. But he pretends like he buys it at Quick Trip. And talk about being a former Navy SEAL. And I've said this once, and I'll say it again. Normally, whichever party it is, if you are running as a former military person, and again, you will not find anybody that has more respect for veterans than me. I had the honor of working with them and helping them during my time in the congressional office. Look at John McCain, a Republican. When he announced for the presidency, he had several people around him, behind him, on that stage that had served with John McCain, some of whom served in the so-called Hanoi Hilton during Vietnam as a prisoner of war, said, we were there with John. We know what kind of a man, what kind of person he is, and we vouch for his patriotism and his character, and that's why we're endorsing him. Look at John Kerry in 2004. He had people that served with him, I believe in the Navy, like John McCain, who stood behind him and vouched for him and said, we know John Kerry. He's a person of character. We support him. We endorse him. For all of you folks in Western Wisconsin where I grew up, Richland Center, Platteville, Boscobel, Viola, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Elroy. Well, Elroy might be just a bit outside now of the 3rd District. Viroqua. Ask yourself the question, why has Derek Van Orten never appeared on a stage with people who served with him in the Navy SEALs? Why can Derek Van Orten not find one person that he served in the Navy SEALs with who will vouch for his character and his morality and endorse him? Maybe it's because Derek Van Orten has showed himself at times publicly to what the people who served with him already know. That he is an unstable bully. That he picks on people who are lesser than him. Teenage girls in a library goes off on her because they have gay pride book displays. High school pages in the U.S. Capitol, who were there on their last day, lying down on the floor of the rotunda, as is often the case, to take a picture of the beautiful rotunda above them, to take home to mom and dad and say, look at this cool thing. I served as an intern, a page in the U.S. Senate. And Derek Van Orten, who has admitted himself that he was drinking alcohol with people, allegedly from his district, and it had a few too many, and doesn't he, it's from the House, not even the Senate, and comes upon these Senate pages and verbally berates them with the F word, the S word for crap, and more. Tells them they're despicable. Verbally abuses teenagers in the U.S. Capitol. And makes up a lie about Civil War soldiers being buried there, which is not true. Maybe the people who served with Derek Van Orten in foxholes and on ships and in places we'll never know about, maybe they know the real Derek Van Orten. And maybe that's why he can't find anyone to stand on a stage and endorse him who served with him in the military. Think about that. If you're in the 3rd Congressional District. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Would love to hear from you on this topic, Mr. Zomers. Let's go ahead and play, if you still have it up, let's play one of the Democrats who were also asked the same question, by the way. This is very interesting because, again, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she says they should stay, Congress should stay and pass a budget. And now we have a Democrat who is also asked, and this is their response.
Congressman Van Orden just said that they're going to be working all throughout and that it won't affect the appropriations process at all. What's your reaction to that?
That's not how the process works. You got to be here to do your job. Okay. What have they done in the last few weeks? Why are we leaving today and not continuing to vote on bills next week? It's because they can't come together. They're divided. They're a party in chaos.
A party in chaos. Where have we heard that before, Mr. Zomers? I believe from Nikki Haley.
It is right? Total chaos.
Right, Nikki Haley. I think that's well said. Republicans couldn't choose a speaker, then got rid of their speaker, Kevin McCarthy, then took them a while to finally elect Mike Johnson. They were down to basically a zero majority in the House. Now, because of a couple of deaths and resignations, they're up a couple in terms of their majority in the House. But once again, they're divided. Republicans, my former party. They cannot pass a budget. Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, knows he does not have the votes right now to do the bare minimum to pass the budget. And this is things like paychecks for our military, for veteran service hospitals, for Social Security. The things that we can all or have in the past, Republicans and Democrats and independents, have all been able to agree upon that those are the basic tenets of what government should do. There are arguments, of course, over other stuff, but that was just the basic, right? Protect the border, pay Social Security and Medicare, take care of our veterans, pay our military. Those are things that are not controversial, at least have not been in the past. And now you have Derek Van Orten trying to make up excuses. And again, it's not just that. It is this continual drip, drip, drip by the mega Republican Party of misogynistic, anti-female remarks and denigrating women. And this is why Donald Trump and the mega Republican Party is petrified of Kamala Harris. Because she is a person who is self-made, a person who has a law degree, a person who was, I believe, in the a legislature in California and then became Attorney General of California, then became United States Senator, and then became Vice President of the United States of America. And now, in less than a week, she has unified the Democratic Party. We haven't even gotten to, by the way, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama, former president and first lady, endorsed her this morning full-heartedly. See, all the Republicans said, oh, this could be great. This could be great. If Joe Biden does get out, the Democrats are going to be in disarray. They're not going to be able to unify themselves. They'll be gnashing of teeth and they'll be fighting amongst each other. Guess what? Didn't happen. You want to know why? Because Kamala Harris has her stuff together. Has a great team. She has networked her entire life for this moment. And she's going around, and again, Pete Buttigieg nailed it. In 1 week, she has made sure that America knows this campaign isn't about her. It's not about Kamala Harris. It's about us, the American people. And whenever you make a message about others, it connects. And you also win. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Don't go anywhere. More on the show. Brewers tickets in hour two. Peter Rapine. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network. Wherever it may lead, and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the All Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 10 before the hour of 12, pardon me, the hour of 1 o'clock. I'm discombobulated. You know what I need right now? I need a little Dan Schaefer. I need a little,
we could all use a little Dan Schaefer.
I need a little recombobulation area. Don't forget to subscribe to the recombobulation area by our great friend Dan Schaefer, by the way. Always does wonderful, fantastic work. It's the recombobulation area dot news, right?
The recombobulation area dot news.
The, yes. That's important. We get the recombobulation area dot news. There may have been a snafu in scheduling. We're not sure, but we'll get John Roach back as soon as he possibly can. But we're happy to take your phone calls and Peter Rapine in hour number two. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Right now, let's go to Kurt, listening on MDX in Madison. Kurt, we appreciate your listenership. What say you?
You know, when I was going down all the potential candidates for VP pick, I crossed Pete off the list. Not because he wasn't qualified. It was just afraid of how it might potentially be a distraction, how the Republicans would go after him. But now that Kamala has just risen like a massive wave, I think he has to be the pick. He's the only one I've ever seen to be able to speak in a way where he can totally take down anybody that comes after him, or the government for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, I'll say this, and by the way, this might be important in hour number two for certain people. If Todd ruled the world, and I don't, but if Todd ruled the world, I would pick Pete Buttigieg as the vice presidential candidate. But and for all the reasons you just said, Kurt, he is unflappable. He knows the issues forwards and backwards, and he can make points that are salient and cut through without being mean and petty, which is something that I struggle with sometimes.
Thanks, Ben.
Yeah, thank you, Kurt. Really appreciate it.
I have to say, personally, my biggest concern about Pete as VP It's not that he's gay and people would go after him for that. Mm. Although that would happen, I think he'd be able to handle it more than capably. My biggest concern is that he is so good at his job as Secretary of Transportation.
True.
Who's going to fill those shoes?
But I mean, he's only got it for another 5 months, technically.
That's true. That's very true, actually.
And again, for potential trivia purposes, an hour or two, Buttigieg would be my pick for VP if I ruled the world. Politically speaking, if you're just asking me the best political pick, it would probably be Mark Kelly, Senator of Arizona, because he comes from a border state, because he, like Buttigieg, he has the military background, a fighter pilot. He was an astronaut. And whether you like it or not, astronauts do well in polling and in campaigns. And he's just a really smart guy. Gabby Giffords, his wife, is a victim of gun violence. And I just think that he'd be great. But again, if it was just if I didn't have to think about politics, if I just said, who do I think is the best person to do the job, I would pick Buttigieg.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Also notable about Kelly, showing to the fact that he is both smart and still like a regular human being. Mm. He snuck a gorilla suit onto the space station and wore it.
I believe it was in conjunction with his brother, who's also an astronaut. But yes, they snuck it onto the space station. There's some hilarious video if you go online.
It is so funny.
Of one of the brothers chasing the other one around the space station in a gorilla suit. So you got to admire a little tomfoolery there. A little trickery. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, Liz, listening in beautiful Sockville, says, yes, Pete Buttigieg for vice president. Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be good, but we'll see. Again, there's a lot, whether it's Mark Kelly of Arizona, whether it's Josh Shapiro of Pennsylvania, I think those are probably the top choices right now, in my opinion. Andrew in Maine says, Secretary Pete is only 42. Bring in Captain Kelly as vice president. After he runs for POTUS in 8 years, Secretary Pete would still be plenty of young to run for POTUS after Kelly. Well, that's true, too. I mean, he is. I mean, that's a great point. Pete Buttigieg is a young person. Certainly. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Mr. Sommers, I sent you a Steph Curry cut. Do you have that available?
Yes.
This was, and of course, we haven't talked about this at all, or almost not at all. The Olympics start tomorrow. As it turns out.
Oh my gosh. So much has been happening.
As it turns out, the Olympics are tomorrow, the Summer Olympics over in Paris. And so Steph Curry is over there with Team USA for basketball, and he was asked about VP Harris because he'd already endorsed Joe Biden for president. This is what Steph Curry had to say yesterday in Paris about Kamala Harris.
Vice President Harris is primed to bring her energy to you know, this campaign, and hopefully, you know, if she's on the ticket winning the election, like it's a big deal, to say the least. And she represents the Bay Area. She's been a big supporter of us, and so I want to give that energy right back to her. And just excited knowing, obviously, we're representing our country here, and this is a very monumental next couple months for our country and the direction that we're headed. So hopefully this is a great way to do our part to continue unifying the country with how we, you know, sports brings a lot of people together. And for her in this moment, knowing what's ahead, like, it's all about positive energy and optimism, knowing how divided our country is right now. So just excited for her.
That's Steph Curry. Somebody who knows about winning, by the way, Steph Curry.
Just a bit.
just a bit. And it's going to be really interesting to see this weekend how the two campaigns, as they go about their rallies around the country. And again, remember, Trump has basically been the guy, the candidate, since early in this calendar year. He's had all this time. Their campaign has had all this time to prepare. And now they get to the last quarter of the game, to use the football analogy, and they don't know what to do. Meanwhile, Kamala Harris is basically the backup quarterback. And in the last quarter, the starting quarterback gets hurt, and she's got to go in. And guess what? She's knocking it out. It's like Brett Favre going in for Don Mikowski years ago. No one knew what to expect. Became the starting quarterback like that overnight. Kamala Harris is a winner. And I'm excited for her candidacy. Stay tuned. Hour two straight ahead. Peter Rapine and Milwaukee Brewers giveaway tickets. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show for a Friday on the Civic Media Radio Network.